When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And I'm praying that you will not hear the sounds of the roofers who are putting a new roof in today at my house. It's extremely noisy, but with any luck, my audio settings on the mic are nice and tight, so I don't have to worry about any ambient noise getting picked up from that. But if you do hear a few knocking things in the background, that's nobody coming to get me. That's just guys dancing around on my roof and banging it with large equipment. So today I'm going to try to do an essay and at the same time drop a little bit of a bombshell, which I hinted at on Twitter today. I just penned a deal with the Ann Arbor District Library to host and produce my Comics Are Great podcast on a weekly basis. Now, there's a couple of things that will fit into this audio essay about, generally speaking, securing partnerships, working with larger organizations for your content, and also a little bit about branding cannibalism, which is something I've broached in the past in response to some things that friends have told me when I was starting up Comics Are Great in the first place. And also, I just want to talk about it because I'm really excited about it. And I don't want to take this news totally public yet because there's still a few minor details to work out. I'm waiting for some emails from the Ann Arbor District Library about this to finalize some things, to secure a few things before I can make any promises about things. But I can at least share with you guys, the Supreme subscribers. This is the benefit of subscribing, right? Is that you guys get first dibs, first access to breaking news about things that we're up to in art and storyland. But I guess I could just go through and explain the whole process of how this deal came to be and what my thought process was and why I pursued this thing. But first, I want to address something about brand cannibalism and why do this if I'm already doing art and story? Good question. Well, because after all, one could make the argument, one could express the concern that by doing two weekly shows about comics, I'm double dipping the same audience. Well, that's only true if it was the same intended audience for both shows. For one, Art and Story as a brand, as an identity, whatever you want to call it, kind of hinges on the fact that it's me, Mark, and Kevin. It's three regular hosts. So it's partly people come to it for the comics content, partly people come to it because it's our voices speaking to comics content. It's our approach. And that approach has its own dynamism by virtue of the fact that Mark, Kevin, and I are three very different people in a lot of ways, and we all have our own way of looking at things. And we have our own kind of like personal dynamic as we talk. So Comics Are Great. When I started it, I never meant it to be any kind of competitor to Art and Story. I meant it to be sort of a hobby for myself, digging into really weird topics that I would assume only I care about. But thankfully, I find some other people every once in a while who are willing to bat these things around with me. And also, it was never meant to be anything as regularly updating as a weekly show, partially for fear of cannibalizing the brand that I had co-created in the Art and Story project. But by going to the Ann Arbor District Library, that changes the whole complexion of what the project is going to be, because for a lot of reasons. One, because it's going to have a little bit of a local focus on it. It's being produced and recorded at the Ann Arbor District Library. There's going to be some content in there. A good chunk of content is going to be about promoting the comics events and activities happening in the Southeast Michigan area. Now, does that mean that it limits the range of audience for that? I don't think so, because for those who aren't in the Ann Arbor area, it serves as a beacon, a signal for other people to say, hey, maybe, first of all, this is one of my underlying agendas with this show, is to help raise awareness of Ann Arbor as a place for cartoonists to be, a cool place for cartoonists to be. But also send out a signal that, hey, other content creators, other comics people, you should be starting stuff like this in your town. So it'll be a way for me to more vocally demonstrate how these relationships work and how you can start up these kinds of comics events in your town. Okay. So yes, that local focus is there. It's there to be a news nexus for people who are interested in comics programming in the Southeast Michigan area, but it will also serve as a reflective point for other towns to look at what we're doing and hopefully mimic that or replicate that or create something entirely new of their own, just to inspire other people to do similar things in their area. So that makes it very distinct from Art and Story already. Secondly, it's going to, this is one of the things I'm really excited about, and I pushed hard for this during our meetings in negotiating this deal, is it's going to be both a video and an audio show simultaneously. We're going to broadcast the show live on some streaming service like Ustream or Justin TV. We're not sure which one we're going to use yet. And because it's live, it's going to have a chat client where people can participate from all over the world and throw in their thoughts and their questions. And then I and whatever panel I assemble per episode will respond to those things. So in a way, it's kind of like what Art and Story Alive once was, when it was that weekly live show that Mark and I did on TalkShoe. But then also, because it's going to have video, I'm going to be bringing in local artists from the Southeast Michigan area. Guys like Paul Story, Mark Rudolph, Chad Sell, Demophon, Jono, all these guys, bring them into the studio so we can actually have some faces to put to the audio. And then, of course, we'll also be talking to people over Skype and be using that Skype video to be part of the video feed of the overall thing. And then, because it's at a library, we're bringing in librarians to come in to do a book recommendation segment on the show. So like the last 10 minutes of the show, both to be a sponsorship slot for the Ann Arbor District Library, since they are producing this content for me now, but also to serve this wider sort of advocacy of the Comics Are Great podcast, bring in people to talk about good comics that people should be reading, comics that are exciting, whatever genre they are. So already with that kind of format, it's very distinct from Art and Story. Yes, it's the exact same kind of stuff you'd expect from me. Very nerdy ramblings about comics process, comics theory, especially comics theory. That's an area where I really like to dig deep. But then also comics advocacy. So with Art and Story, the comics advocacy is implicit. It's there. We want people to get excited about making comics. If anybody remembers the old intro, the most recent to the latest intro, where, you know, we'll maybe get you a little bit more juiced about making your own comics. So that was there all along, but Comics Are Great is going to be much more of an explicit sort of cheer for comics and introducing people to both local artists in Southeast Michigan as well as cartoonists from around the world. So it'll be a different lineup every time. And that is probably the number one difference between it and Art and Story in terms of format, is that it's going to be a constantly rotating group of panelists bringing it in. So in a lot of ways, yes, those of you who pay attention to tech podcasts may have noticed that this is largely borrowing from the format that Leo Laporte has established with his Twit network, twit.tv, and especially his This Week in Tech show, where he has some repeating guests, but the panel changes from week to week, and they just crunch through the tech news of the week. So there'll be a little bit of comics news, I suppose, but not that I keep my ear to the railroad tracks on that. But crunching on a chosen topic that week with a different group of panelists every week, a little bit of a book recommendation segment, and then a little bit of a calendar segment indicating to people what comics events are going on, especially in the Ann Arbor area. But eventually I'd like to rope in even more to where, like, maybe we can be some kind of a resource for people who are looking for comics programming in their own area, even outside of Michigan. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. We'll see what happens with as we grow the show and the format and everything. So, but in the negotiations, something interesting happened, some things that I did not expect. And upon thinking about it for a few minutes, I realized, no, it's actually better that way. In my original proposal to the Ann Arbor District Library, I suggested that they would be granted a perpetual license to any content created on their premises, but I would retain the copyright to the show. I could do with it whatever I wanted. And they said, well, gee, you know, if you're producing the entire show with our equipment, with our staff, I'm going to get to that in a second, too. I got to make a little note to myself to talk about where staff comes into this. It seems like we should retain ownership of the show. Now, instead of getting bristly at this thought, I said, explain. And the library explained their position. They are funded by taxpayer dollars. Their content belongs to the people of Ann Arbor. So for taxpayers to pay for the production of a show that I ultimately own seems a little strange. And I totally understood their position. And I said, well, if it comes to that, so let's release it under Creative Commons, non-commercial share alike Creative Commons license. Because I'd have no immediate plans to monetize this show anyway. It's sort of I want it to be, like I said, a beacon, a signal of what's happening in Ann Arbor. And that's not as important to monetize for me as it is to spread the word about comics programming, which will be my monetization in the form of leading more and more workshops and finding more teaching events to start and produce and eventually monetize that way. And they said, well, that's fine then. The whole issue of copyright becomes problematic when you're dealing with a public agency like the library. But you'll still, because it's Creative Commons, you'll have the right to do whatever you want with it, providing that you don't compete with us in terms of like trying to, like you can monetize it on your own site, take the content, put it on your own site, maybe put some extra stuff in there and then put a sponsorship piece in there. But as far as any content that's hosted on the library servers and distributed through the library's network, it cannot be copyright you. So that's one thing that you have to think about when you're forming these partnerships is who retains what rights. Of course, we think about that. But then the next thing to think about is, do we need to be that possessive of everything? Now, if you're dealing with a corporation, yes, I think you should be fiercely defensive to protect all of your intellectual properties. But if you're forming a partnership in the kind of spirit of the kind of thing that I'm doing with Comics Are Great, that was a battle I was willing to reconsider. It wasn't something I felt terribly strongly about. What I did feel strongly about was the video content. I said, if I'm going to be doing a podcast here, it's got to offer me something that I can't do from my own studio. And that was maintaining video, doing a video feed concurrent with the show, which I could do from home, but it'd be tricky, it'd be a little bit of extra work. And I said, but also editing and managing of show notes. These are two of the big time sinks of doing a podcast for me is while I'm recording the show and people are throwing links at me and mentioning different sites that are interesting that I know that listeners are going to want to follow up on, I'm furiously writing this stuff down as the show is being recorded while trying to manage the conversation. And that can be distracting sometimes. I know there have been times on both Art and Story and Comics Are Great where I've said, well, wait a second, I'm writing this down. So I thought, well, how much nicer would it be if I had a dedicated intern there to listen to the show and write down any pertinent links to things or write down things for follow-up to get links for show notes? And then I said, can I get a guy to be, or gal, to be the editor of the show? In other words, take the audio. I always record in one take, or 99% of the time I record in one take. But just to put the intro and outro on and then export it and turn it into an MP3. That's an extra 20 to 30 minutes per show that I'm doing in terms of production time. And in the case of Art and Story, Kevin and Mark and I all split that duty. Every week, one of us takes on the editing duties of the show, and the show notes for that matter. But how much nicer would it be if I had a dedicated person to be sort of a sound engineer, a video engineer, and an audio engineer, the editor? So all I have to do is come in, meet with the guests, talk through do the show content, and then I'm done. So now there's value for me to participate in this. And that's the battle that I really wanted to win there, was I didn't want to just do what I'm doing at home someplace else. I wanted there to be some kind of extra features in there to lighten the load for me so I could just focus on the content and make it the best it can be. And then if it's Creative Commons, so be it. I can deal with that. And as I was saying, like by taking the MP3s and hosting them again on my own site using Kablam as my audio host, I can run my own sponsorships there if I really want to monetize this. And, you know, that's a good thing to keep in mind for future consideration. Now, why did I approach the Ann Arbor District Library about this? Well, if you remember, I did a Thunder Punch Daily a few episodes ago where I was talking about my reactions to a library unconference that I attended. And one of the things that really jumped out at me was how a lot of libraries are considering finding new models for themselves in the form of becoming the repository of local content and striking deals with independent and local creators rather than going through a publishing house or any kind of syndicates or distribution networks. Rather, cut the deal directly with the independent creator and host the stuff on their own servers. And the Ann Arbor District Library is a shining example of this kind of this model and this approach. They've already bought tons of servers and they've got the infrastructure to do it, and they have the right kind of IT department who is interested in doing really creative things. So upon leaving that conference, and this is what I didn't put in that Thunder Punch Daily, is I thought, of course I should do Comics Are Great through them, because A, it gives me resources for, as I said earlier, put staff on editing the show and maintaining show notes for me and posting the show and configuring, you know, the feeds, the podcast feeds and all that stuff. Provides me access to video content and everything. But then it also becomes a way for me to focus on global content, which we've been doing through Art and Story, but also really kind of focus on the hyper-local. People go to the Ann Arbor District Library website looking for content, that not only looking for books to check out and DVDs to check out, but people really pay attention to the Ann Arbor District Library blog. And so if I'm producing content on there that has relevant local events mentioned and speaking to something that the Ann Arbor area is becoming more and more interested in, this is, like I've said before, this has been the busiest year I've ever had in teaching in the Southeast Michigan area. Then why not do it? That just makes perfect sense. And now I've got this wonderful channel to promote Kids Read Comics from year to year. My teaching work. Hey, these are the latest events that I'm doing. Here's some workshops I'm doing at the Ann Arbor District Library. Here's what I'm doing in Chelsea. Here's what I'm doing in Wayne. Here's what I'm doing in Oak Park, and et cetera. So, of course, it just made perfect sense to go that way. Why not take Art and Story to that? Well, first of all, I didn't run it by Mark and Kevin. I moved fast on this because I thought it was really important that I jump on this and be one of the first people at the gate, now that the Ann Arbor District Library made it clear that this is their intention to become a hub of local content. But also because Mark and Kevin and I have invested a lot of time and energy into the Art and Story brand, and I don't know if they would feel comfortable, and I don't know if I would feel comfortable relinquishing the copyright to all that material. And plus, we already have a monetization scheme in mind. You're participating in it now if you're listening to this, right? So there was already so much infrastructure in place with Art and Story. It just didn't seem like, it seemed like it'd be a lot of hoops to jump through, a lot of reconsidering to do. And Comics Are Great was still this kind of embryonic hobby of mine that seemed like it was a perfect fit for doing something like this. And plus, since it would have such a distinct change of format in focusing on local as well as global content, I think that would be too much of a turning left, you know, shifting direction of the show for the current listenership that we have. You know, it's one thing for a project to evolve; it's another thing entirely for it to completely change course midstream. Now, we can do that as independent content creators, but it's not something that you should do lightly, I don't think. So anyway, that was my thought process on that for anybody who's wondering why not take Art and Story to that. But, I mean, there's nothing to say that we couldn't, because in my discussions with them, and I'm betting more libraries are feeling this way as well, is that they said they're hoping that through doing Comics Are Great through their through the library, they're going to inspire other people to lead more, more podcasts through the library services, that this will be the test run, the proof of concept for more people to submit their own ideas for their own shows, their own infotainment, I guess, for lack of a better term. So yeah, I'm super, super excited. I mean, there's even more to this. There's even more stuff that's in the planning stages that as a result of me making this pitch to them that I don't even feel comfortable sharing here, because it's been suggested, but there's been no proof that it's actually going to be implemented. I'll have to wait and see. But if it happens, it's going to be really amazing. I feel like it's one of those rare experiences where you work hard for years and years and years, and you feel like you're making a difference. You feel like you're accomplishing something, but every once in a while you get that threshold, you know, that moment where you have a meeting where you're like, oh my gosh, all this work amounted to something really, really special. that was today. And so I'm super stoked about it. And I can't wait to see what's going to happen in the coming weeks. Apparently, we're going to move very fast with it. I'm just waiting on an email from my contacts at AADL to set up a time when we would actually be recording the show. And my assumption is that we're going to be doing it at a very specific time every week. It's going to be a certain block of hour once a week where you can actually, you know, like tune in at that time for the live recording. Who knows when the recorded podcast will enter into the podcast feed on the library site and then thereafter on my own site. But at least the recording time will be locked into a specific day and time every week. So that'll be cool just in terms of getting live interactions from the crowd. You know, so when this happens, I'm going to be making a lot of noise on the Twitters, Jersey on the Twitters. Comics are great on the Twitters, too. That's my sort of my teaching Twitter feed. Also on my Facebook page, facebook.com/comicsaregreat. So on this show as well, I'll be making some noise about when to expect the new shows so that if you're available at that time, you can tune into the live feed and participate in a chat client. I think that's going to be amazing fun. I'm super, super excited about it. And it'll give you a chance to see the faces of some of the local cartoonists you've heard on the show, like Jono Demophon, like Janie Ho, who is another very talented local cartoonist. ChickenGirlDesign.com is her site. I think Jono's is Demophon.tumblr.com is where he posts a lot of comic stuff. So, Paul Story. I can't wait to get him on. I can't wait to match wits with him again and he actually get to watch us do our thing together. So, the library was skeptical about a Ustream or Justin TV feed because historically they haven't had really great results out of that. But I suspect it's because of the kind of content. If you're streaming city council meetings, let's face it, people under 20 don't care about that very much yet. It's not until you get to about my age and older that you start caring about local politics, local government. So, and if you're 60 years old, are you going to Ustream for your entertainment needs? No, you're not. That's for the younger generation and for those of us older folks who are really tuned into technology to pay attention to, right? So I suspect that once we start streaming live, after a couple weeks of doing this and putting the word out through social media and through shows like Art and Story, I think we're getting really good turnouts. I think they'll be pleasantly surprised with the results. So, yeah. So there was some exciting news there. Oh, the takeaway. Let's look at the takeaway today. Is this something you can start in your town? I think it is. I think this is something where you can approach local libraries or even local comic stores. I mean, this is what's funny is that I didn't even think to do this after recording Comics Are Great number 12 with Eli Nyberger of the Ann Arbor District Library and Barry Gregory of Kablam. We talked about this very idea of recording podcasts in comic shops, in libraries, as a way to get people aware of the local places where you can find comic books and also as a way to participate in the content by showing up for the live recordings. You know, Around Comics, an old podcast by internet standards, they've been doing this for a long time. They record in a comic shop. I think this is something that can be done. And is it something where your local library is going to be initially receptive to the idea? Boy, I think it takes time. I think it takes time in building a relationship with an organization. Just like anything, you know, it's like you can't just walk into a comic store that you've never been into before and show them your work and expect them to be excited about carrying your book in their store. You have to form a relationship with them. And I know that's the awful schmoozing kind of thing, but it's also about building trust. It's to show that you're committed to this idea. You're committed to a long-term relationship with these people. I worked at the Ann Arbor District Library for 4 or 5 years now, leading comics workshops. In that first couple years, it was just a workshop every 6 months or so, gauging audience reaction and then watching more and more people get interested. And then until we did the 6-week workshop. And then after we did the 6-week workshop, we did 2 6-week workshops. And then it evolved into the monthly Comics Artist Forum, which is now the 12 months out of the year. At the top of the month, we do a free local get together of cartoonists. And then from there, I had proven to them that I was committed to this idea of more comics programming in the library. So when I pitched them an idea to do a podcast to help promote these local events, they were receptive to it. But I was just at another smaller library the other day doing a workshop. And I was trying to feel them out about, like, what do you guys think about carrying local creators' work? What do you think about carrying ebooks on your library website, or even publishing local content on your website in the form of ebooks or audio or things like that? And I got a reaction of, that would be great. We don't have the infrastructure to do it. You know, a lot of people, I'm going to try to find a way to say this delicately. Budgets are tight everywhere, you know. And there's a couple different ways of reacting to that. You can react to say, well, that means I can't do very much. Or you can say, well, that means we have to be creative about what we can do. A lot of times I get a reaction that's more akin to the former of, well, that'd be great if we had the money. Not everybody's that dismissive about it, but I do have, I find this underlying current of this kind of dismissiveness of new ideas because, after all, we don't have the resources. But I think that's what another reason to form a relationship with a local business that you believe in, whether it's a comic store or a library or a community arts center, because when you show that you're committed and you show that you can think creatively to solve these problems, then when you pitch an idea at them, they're more likely to respond positively and say, well, let's figure out how to do that. But when you walk in and you don't have a relationship yet, and they're struggling with so many things as is, like both local comic stores and libraries and art centers, for that matter, are all struggling just to stay afloat. And you say, hey, I want to do this ambitious thing and use your resources to do it. That could become just too much for them to think about at that moment. So, again, I think it really comes down to baby steps. And what's more is, especially in the case of libraries, not every library is really plugged into comics yet. Some of the libraries I visited over the last 6-8 months, some of them shelve their comic books in the 741s, the Dewey Decimal System, which is sort of where they put the art books. They're putting fiction in the nonfiction section because they don't know where else to shelve it. That just shows how new this comics medium is to a lot of librarians. So you're facing a lot of challenges in breaking into this area, but I think this is one of the key areas to break into and start participating in the, at least in North America, because that's where the kids are, that's where the teens are, that's where the young people who are eagerly consuming this new media content, that's where they are. The library's been working hard to get young kids and teens to use the library more, and now they've got them, now they need content for them, and that's where we, the independent content creators, come in. So I hope that some of you will at least give it a try. If you need any assistance or any advice on this, I will happily schedule an office hour with you to help, you know, troubleshoot and brainstorm some strategies on that. Just send me an email, jerseydros@gmail.com or artandstory@gmail.com. I'll be glad to set that up. I will warn you, though, that over the next 4 weeks, things are going to be crazy for me with Kids Read Comics being right around the corner. As a matter of fact, I'm stealing time from working on Kids Read Comics to record this right now. But once June 18th is passed, my schedule will be a little bit more open, and I'd be glad to discuss with you guys individually or as groups how you can pursue ideas like this. I think it's a really interesting time that we live in, and I think if we move fast and if we're courageous of heart, we can make the landscape a little bit better for our beloved medium. So, who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for supporting us in this project. We could not do it without you. More updates to come, as you might expect. And I'm super, super stoked about it. And thanks for all the congratulations that I got today on the Twitters from everybody who was patting me on the back for the deal that I made today, even though they didn't know exactly what it was. So now you guys know, and I hope you will assist me in promoting this thing when the time comes, because if this succeeds, if we get a proof of concept at a library that you can have a comics podcast that is funded by the library, sponsored by the library, and produced by the library, more libraries will follow suit. Ann Arbor District Library is one of the beacons in the library scene. So if this one succeeds, then that makes it that much more likely that you guys could start something like this in your town. So I hope you'll back me up on this if no other. Well, or even just for comic's sake, because after all, comics are great, right? So I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody,
I hope you enjoyed today's adventure. You know, television is not the only way to be entertained by an exciting story. There is another way. It's called reading. And one of the wonderful things about books is that they allow you to choose whatever kind of adventure you like. A trip with an astronaut, an adventure with the great detective Sherlock Holmes, a comedy, anything. You can find it in a book at your school or neighborhood library. Why, I'll bet there are even some good books right in your own home, just waiting to be read.